Our morning conversation this morning is our monthly conversation with SIUC Chancellor Rita Chang. Chancellor, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thanks, Jennifer. Glad to be here.
And especially a busy time of year. New students begin moving in tomorrow on the SIUC campus. Lots of students are already moving back into apartments and residence halls across the area. Tell me a little bit about what your days are like right now.
Well, it's getting very exciting to see the end of the summer and the beginning of the fall semester. The number of student groups and staff that are meeting to prepare for the fall semester means that there are many, many meetings, many, many opportunities to welcome people. Last night I talked to a large group of peer mentors. Every freshman will have a peer mentor. I also, this morning, I'll be talking to the advising network across campus. Everybody's getting ready. Everybody's excited.
There are a lot of people who have seen how Southern Illinois University welcomes its new students onto campus with faculty, staff, students, community members, you know, meeting them at the door, helping them carry things into residence halls, and really giving them that welcome. They say it's something that Southern does maybe better than any other school in the state. How important is that first day impression?
Well, a sense of belonging is key to success as a new student on the campus, whether a new freshman or a transferred student. And that welcome is the beginning of the things that we want to do to make sure that students feel that they belong to SIU.
You've talked in the past, when we've talked about the marketing plan, about how people have a picture in their mind of what SIU is. Do you think that it's different when they get here and they actually spend those first few weeks? Do their minds change pretty dramatically in some cases?
Well, we like to think that our marketing and branding is authentic. It was developed by the campus staff and faculty impressions and input, and I think it is very authentic. We live our brand of being a big brain research university, but a place where we have small groups and we have the heart to give a lot of support to our students. Where we see a difference in the student experience is that I think most students don't realize that this transition is a big one. From high school to college, and it is that time when they feel that perhaps they are too far from home, lonely, don't have that friend network, and that's where the welcome that we make and the support programs that we put in are so important.
Certainly a lot of events over the next several days and weeks to kind of get them involved and make sure they understand that this is home as well.
I think the 101 course structure and the peer mentors are going to make a big, big difference. Last night when we talked about the fact that we took a pilot program and now have launched it campus-wide. Every freshman will be in a 101 course. They will be connected to a peer mentor. And so hopefully that safety net will be there.
When you talk about that first few weeks, maybe the first semester, even perhaps the first year, where do you think are the places that students, particularly new students, stumble? Where are those common areas?
Well, getting started on the right foot is important, and I joke with student groups to say, well, you know, my advice is to set your alarm, go to class, do your homework, and call your mother. But all of those things are simplistic because it's much more complicated than that, and students tend to not reach out, students who are lonely are not reaching out, not taking advantage of all the support structures, and so we know that, and we're really putting in dedicated staff that will be more intrusive in those first few weeks, the first few months, asking students to join groups. Getting information about early indications of success in courses. If students aren't in class, getting feedback to the advisors to contact the student about the importance of going to class.
Sure. I know that we'll talk about this more likely over the next couple of weeks. The official enrollment numbers don't come out until the first 2 weeks of class, but How are things looking and what are you expecting there?
Well, there are big challenges in enrollment that are being seen throughout Illinois and throughout the country. The number of high school graduates is the lowest that it's been in many, many years and will continue to decline until about 2019, 2020. So we're in a sense, fishing in a smaller pool. But with that, our enrollment staff, admissions officers, and financial aid staff are making personal contacts with students to ensure that there are no barriers between their desire to be at SIU and their ability to enroll. Our, unique challenge as well at SIU is that our sophomore class is up from the year before, but our junior and senior classes are smaller. And we knew that back in 2009 and 10 when we had drops in enrollment at the freshman level, that they were going to stay with us for a number of years, and that's the case. So we see some of our upper division courses are smaller. We have low enrollments in some degree programs. But overall, we're very charged by some of the positives that are happening. Our science new student enrollment is up. Our online programs are up substantially, and everybody is working really hard to increase the yield.
Still, if you had to say an overall term, are we still looking at a soft enrollment, a little bit less than last year?
Oh, yeah. We'll have less overall enrollment than last year. We're working really hard to make sure that our incoming class is not a huge decline, you know, like we've had in previous years. But when I talked with the presidents and chancellors around the state of Illinois, we're like the rest of the country. We're seeing a softness in yield. We're discounting in some ways, offering financial aid to students, looking at different ways to encourage students to make one of the most important decisions of their life, and that is to get more education.
Sure. We spend a lot of time talking budgets and money when you come in. I was going to try and stay away from it this month, but there is something we do need to talk about with a special session that's been called for the end of this week of the Illinois Legislature regarding pension reform here in the state of Illinois. Yesterday, Governor Pat Quinn's office put out a report that said something similar to what he had said about elementary and secondary education several days ago. But basically, because of the demands of the pension system and the obligations there, that as the years go on, it's going to need to take from higher education. I wondered your response to that.
Well, we've recognized that and have been supportive as a president and chancellor's group of a shared solution. I think we were talking about that in the spring, Jennifer, and we have reaffirmed our position that as leaders of higher education, we understand the importance of maintaining pension benefits for our faculty and staff. And in order to do that and to free up state funds to support higher education in the future, we envision that we will be picking up a portion of that cost to retain the benefits. What we're most concerned about is that at this point, without new appropriations, that would be very difficult to do. So it has to be a phased-in approach. It has to be phased in over a period of time to allow us to make the budget adjustments to prioritize the payment of something into the pension fund so that our staff and faculty can be assured that when they retire, the benefits will be there.
Sure, and of course that's something we wait and see to what the lawmakers and the governor will work out.
It's a very, very important issue.
Sure. This is Morning Conversation on WSIU Radio. It's 8:39, and we're talking with SIUC Chancellor Rita Cheng. We've talked about those new folks coming onto campus, students returning to campus. When you're talking about changes that come about, maybe each semester, maybe new fiscal year, there are some things that have caused some people a little bit of concern. There's a new policy when it comes to university vehicles that you see all over campus. Offices have them for use in varying ways. Can you tell us a little bit about what the rule is and why it's in place?
Well, we needed to free up some spots for students and faculty and staff to park. It wasn't a week that would go by that I wouldn't have some complaint in my office about the inability to find parking. A student couldn't get to class because they couldn't find a parking spot. Faculty and staff feeling that that our prime lots were always full. And when we looked around, we saw that there were a lot of university vehicles that were taking up space in very prime lots. And so we've asked the deans and the program directors to relocate the university vehicles to a more remote lot. We freed up, at this point, 42 spaces for our students and faculty and staff, the red and the blue stickers. And that allows for us to be much more accommodating when students need to come to class or when faculty and staff need to come to work.
What I've heard from some people is that the overflow lot, or this other lot that the cars are being parked, is out on McClafferty Road near the McClafferty Annex, and that it's too far. If they have students who don't have a vehicle, they have to walk too far to get to those university vehicles.
Your response? Actually, it's next to the law school. So it isn't out on McClafferty, and it is next to Greek Row. The ability for someone to take their personal car and park it there next to their university vehicle, make the swap, and get on with their day is, I think, the campus safety and PSO staff have made it very convenient. It's a well-lit lot. It's a lot that our law school students have used all the time, so it's not a remote lot in a sense. But it isn't in the Lincoln Drive circle, so it's further away from classes.
You mentioned you've heard a lot about parking on this campus. Are there plans to add parking in any area, perhaps another multi-level structure like what used to be on the east side of campus?
No, there aren't. So we have to make a very effective use of the lots that we have. Certainly when we see the addition and remodeling of this building, there will be a reconfiguration of Lincoln Drive and the lots, but we have to be very conscious that, you know, there's only so much space, and everybody wants to park right next to the building, and there won't be new parking lots next to buildings. The remote lots, as you say, are not as popular, but we do have the buses that go around for students that want to park for free down by the arena.
Sure. Another thing that I've been hearing about from some folks on campus is in regards to grant funding. As so many people are so well aware, grant funding provides just one of the steady streams of funding here at the university. They're saying that they're hearing the administration of that grant money is being taken from the actual researcher and maybe moved into a vice chancellor's position or something like that. How does grant funding work?
The PI has the ability to make the decisions on what purchases and whom to hire for grant activity. But there are cross-checks that are necessary at any institution, and we have to make sure that grants are not overspent. Because if they are, it is the dean and the vice chancellor that needs to find the state funds to support that grant activity. And we need to make sure that from a federal government perspective, we have the proper internal controls that have oversight on grants. So we're not taking decision-making away. We're just implementing sound, solid, best practice internal controls. I'm not sure what the rumor or concerns are, but if people are thinking that we're taking the decision-making on what's appropriate for a particular grant activity away from the PIs, that's just not so.
Have there been problems in terms of overspending or perhaps misuse of funds in some areas, perhaps not across the board, but in certain
markets? Oh, sure. Overspending more than misuse. But clearly, if you don't know what someone's spending and you don't have all the information from the accounting system, overspending or underspending of grants is a concern by our institution. We had a large number of fiscal officers compared to other institutions, and this is just one of the steps that was taken over the last fiscal year to make sure that our signature authority and who was authorized to spend for the university were clearly delineated.
Another streamlining that you're working on.
Correct.
All right. Just about 5 minutes or so that we have remaining. We've talked about new students coming onto campus and ways that they perhaps can stumble in those first several weeks. Other ways that they can get involved. Do you have recommendations about things that they ought to be looking for?
I'm very excited about many of the activities that our registered student organizations are planning, and there are just over 400 opportunities to get involved with the student life and RSOs. But in addition to that, our Center for Volunteerism and Service Learning is an incredible opportunity for students to make a difference in Southern Illinois, and it would be tied to their academic interests. So I would encourage students to also stop by that center. Our local businesses will be on campus, and there are always opportunities to have a part-time job in the community, and there are opportunities for volunteering on just an afternoon or a day at one of the local nonprofits.
Sure. We talk about the footprint that the university has. A lot of people are well aware that SIU is a regional university. As you see these students come back, do you really see SIU's footprint grow in the community and in outside communities as well?
It's really exciting to have the number of people that come into Carbondale on a daily basis when our students are here and our faculty and staff are on campus, and all of the people who do business with the university are here. There are many, many thousands of people that are added to the Carbondale economy, and that's really exciting. It is also exciting to see parents and family members of our students compliment the university on our programming, on our beautiful campus, and on the welcoming atmosphere from the city of Carbondale.
Certainly. That's SIUC Chancellor Rita Cheng. Chancellor, thanks for coming in this morning.
You're welcome.
You can find a listing of events, lots of other information, by going to the university website, siu.edu, and of course, lots of different things going on over the next several days and weeks to welcome those new and returning students back to town, as well as those professors and staff members who perhaps have been gone on vacation or on other assignments and things like that.